Hi friends, RC here with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Don Pepin Original Exclusivos Nicaraguan Puro Corojo Wrapper equals a Don Pepin Classic. Cubanesque in flavor, strength, and size, this is the stick to celebrate your latest victory. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Join Shasta College Saturday and Sunday, December 7th and 8th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Shasta College Farm for their annual Country Christmas Fair and Tree Sale. They have a wide variety of trees to choose from. And come and get your Christmas shopping done early with handcrafted gifts, plus proceeds will benefit Shasta College students. In addition to shopping, you can enjoy the free family fun activities with a bounce house for the kids and a petting zoo, too. It's all happening at the Shasta College Farm. Bring 6 non-perishable canned food items and receive $3 off one tree. Canned food will be donated to the Good News Rescue Mission.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense. It's made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And, you know, we don't often have the chance to talk to an astronaut, but today we do have that chance, and it's very exciting. Terry Burtz is a retired NASA astronaut, International Space Station commander, and colonel in the U.S. Air Force. And he's here to talk about some exciting stuff. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing good, and I understand you have a heavily military audience, so I just want to say thanks to everybody for serving out there who's listening.
Well, thank you for your service, too, Colonel. It's fantastic to have you on here. Talk about your military career a little bit, if you will.
Sure. I went to the Air Force Academy when I was 17. Grew up wanting to be an astronaut. The first book I ever read was about space, and ended up flying F-16s, ended up at test pilot school at Edwards after flying Vipers in Asia and Europe and around America. And then I got picked to be an astronaut in 2000, went to NASA, spent about 16 years there. It took a decade for my first flight. Things were pretty slow there in the 2000s. But I flew on the shuttle as Endeavour's pilot on STS-130, and then I went back on a Russian Soyuz a few years after that, and spent 200 days on the space station, eventually as commander on that flight.
Oh, wow. 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 What a career. Well, and you say you got picked to be an astronaut. What is that process like?
Painful.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was, they say paperwork. It actually was on paper. We had to print out massive piles of, applications. So I applied. I was at Edwards Air Force Base, like I said, and, a lot of the folks there want to be astronauts, and I was young. I was only a student at TPS when I applied, and everybody assured me that I had no chance of making it. But I went ahead and applied anyway because I was too young. The other guys are smarter than you. The other guys are better looking than you. And they were right, but, I went with it, and I got lucky, and I got picked. And the lesson I learned is a career advice that I give to adults and kids is don't tell yourself no. If there's some goal you have, if you tell yourself no, you're not going to get it. So if you tell yourself yes, you might actually get it. But that was my lesson from applying to be an astronaut.
It's a great lesson. We're talking to Colonel Terry Burtz here in the National Defense, and this NASA's Parker Solar Probe. I've never heard of that. I'm fascinated by all things space, but talk about that a little bit. This solar probe that has it continues to smash its own records, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. So I love NASA's unmanned stuff. When I was a kid, I used to subscribe to Astronomy Magazine, and I remember that was when Voyager launched. So it was going to Jupiter. And Saturn. Every month I'd get my Astronomy Magazine and just, you know, read through the whole thing in a day. Parker is going to the sun. Well, that's the sun. Basically, there's the sun's upper atmosphere is called the coronosphere, and for some reason, the solar surface is like 5,000 degrees Celsius, but the coronosphere is like a million degrees, and that's really close to the sun. So the weird thing about orbital mechanics, and when I became a shuttle pilot, I had to learn how to do rendezvous. So when you're flying a jet, you push the throttles up, you go faster, and you go faster. And in space, if you want to go faster, you have to slow down a little bit. That lowers your orbit, and then as your orbit goes down, that speeds you up. So if there's some, you know, the space station's in front of us in the shuttle, we'd actually have to slow down, go lower in the orbit, and that would speed up and let us catch up. So in order to go to the sun, you have to lower your orbit around the sun. And it's actually using Venus. The gravity from Venus is slowing it down. And it's going over 430,000 miles an hour. So it's moving pretty fast.
Wow.
But the reason it's going so fast is because the orbit has gotten lower, which is, it's kind of ironic, but that's how orbital mechanics work.
Yeah, and you say that 430,000 miles an hour, at that speed, you could travel from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. in 20 seconds. That gives you some idea of that kind of speed. I mean, what's the – have you gone that fast?
No human has ever gone anywhere close to that. The fastest people have ever gone are the astronauts who went to the moon, and that was probably – 25,000 miles an hour, something like that, roughly.
Wow.
We call it escape velocity. Yeah, but the Parker is the fastest object humans have ever made.
Oh, that is incredible. And the reason for that, the reason for the probe and the reason for all of this data that it collects is to show us what?
So we don't understand a lot about the sun, and it's an important star. Of all the stars, it's the most important. It's like why we have life on Earth.
Sure.
So we have El Nino and La Nina, and you know, for Earth weather, the sun has a solar cycle, and it drives weather on Earth. The sun has these huge explosions called coronal mass ejections, CMEs. It'll launch a trillion tons of protons and electrons out into space. And if that launch happens in the right angle, the sun has super powerful magnetic fields, so the magnetic fields will bend it and curve it and kind of launch it out into space towards Earth, and it hits Earth about a day later. And if that happens, then we can get the northern lights or the southern lights, which are pretty. I've only ever seen those from space. I've never seen them from the ground.
So wow, that's quite a statement.
That's my bucket list, but so that's pretty. But the effects they have on satellites is not pretty. It can cause the satellites, you know, electronics to fry. We had a really bad emergency on the space station because of radiation tripped some of our computers, and we thought there was a ammonia leak, which is really bad. It ended up being a false alarm, but the solar probes did that. The other problem you get from these solar mass ejections is that it can mess with the electric grid. There was a experience in Quebec, Canada, back in 1989 that took down the whole grid for the province of Quebec. So what happens on the sun, we call it space weather, is important for life on Earth.
Wow. And I would imagine that whoever finds out the most about that kind of data will control a lot of things. We're talking to retired NASA astronaut Terry Virts here on the National Defense. Terry, what do you think about all of the private space travel that's going on now?
I think it's interesting. I think it's good for the industry in general that there's so much interest. You know, the more activity that we have, the more engineers that are working, the more money that goes into it, the better we get at space. And a lot of the private space industry is happening in America, which I think is good. We are the most innovative, you know, country, I think. And so I hope that continues. You know, there's some of it's is more probably beneficial than others. Some of it may just be like a joyride for a billionaire, and that's fine. But but some of it actually leads to, scientific work. And so, and some of it subsidizes, like when there is adventure travel for wealthy people, that's not a bad thing because all the thousands of engineers that are working on that, there's other crossover benefits.
Sure.
You know, that can lead to other things also. So in general, I think it's a positive thing.
And is it true that in space no one can hear you scream?
So, of course, if you were just in space and you raised up your helmet, you would scream because you were about to die. Nobody would hear that. But I filmed a GoPro video on my spacewalks, and you can Google it. It was if you Google it, it's EVA 29, 30, and 31, and there's like an hour of GoPro video. And you can hear it. And what you're hearing, there's a fan running in the spacesuit that keeps us cool. So you can hear that fan. And there's a lot of clanging and banging. And, you know, you have a tether attached on the space station that's metal on metal banging. And the sound doesn't go through the air because there's no air, but the sound would go through the tether, through my spacesuit, into the GoPro, through my spacesuit. So you can actually hear it. But you're not hearing the sounds through air. You're hearing the sounds through the structure of the space station and the spacesuit. So anyway, it's really cool
to hear the sound. Oh, I got to watch those videos. Man, that's so cool. Colonel Terry Virch, thank you so much for the time, man. It's just fascinating.
Thanks for having me on.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
Time to work on your gift list with Black Friday deals at the Home Depot. Right now, get a select tool from top brands like Ryobi and Milwaukee for free when you buy a select battery kit. Choose from reciprocating saws, multi-tools, sanders, and more. Whether you're stocking up on power for your personal workshop or grabbing the perfect gift for someone else's, get Black Friday tool deals delivered from the Home Depot. Limit one per transaction. Exclusions apply. Full eligible tool list in-store and online.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post-9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing.
To get the help you need.
To find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Cornerstone Community Bank is proud to partner with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. We'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to veterans and active duty service members for their dedication and sacrifice. Cornerstone Community Bank offers personal and business banking solutions tailored to fit your unique needs. We invite you to experience the warmth of banking with us. Visit one of our four branches in Redding, Anderson, or Red Bluff, or online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Reading businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious homestyle meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Welcome back to the National Defense. We are joined today by a legal bulldog, former Texas Bureau Chief of Special Crimes Unit, and a prosecutor who is starring in a new series on Oxygen True Crime. We're joined by Kelly Sigler. She's got Prosecuting Evil coming to a TV screen or a smartphone device near you. And, Kelly, it says here you've tried 68 murder cases in your career. How many of those did you win?
Well, I didn't lose any of them. One was a hung jury, and the rest were guilty.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just from being prepared, from having the facts, from hopefully doing the right thing, and it turns out the way it's supposed to.
Now, how many years was that over? I mean, 68 murder trials, that's no small task.
Well, we're in Houston, in Harris County, Texas, so unfortunately crime is pretty busy here, so we got really good at doing our jobs because of the quantity of cases that we had. I started as a prosecutor when I was 23, and I left the office when I was 45, so 21 years of doing all that, working with the best, which is what Prosecuting Evil is about. It's those cases. You remember 20 years ago, true crime was not what it is today.
No.
So there are a lot of cases from back then with people that I worked with and families that I lived with and walked through the criminal justice system. Their stories have never been told. So those are the stories that we're trying to highlight and hopefully get people excited to hear about.
Well, you had a lot on your plate. As we mentioned earlier, the Bureau Chief of the Special Crimes Bureau, which included Major Offenders Division, the Major Fraud Division, Identity Theft Division, Asset Forfeiture Division, and Consumer Fraud Division. But, I mean, the murder cases, that's the big thing. And you got nicknamed the Giant Killer. Why was that?
I just think it was because as a girl in the courtroom that wasn't afraid and didn't back down and took on big defense lawyers, which we'll show you about on Prosecuting Evil 2. Four of the cases from the show were mine, and two of them are against very prominent lawyers down here. And just not being afraid, not being scared. And I hope that the show can also show a lot of the ladies out there how you don't need to be scared. You don't need to be afraid. If you're prepared and you have the facts on your side and you're ready to do your job, it's all going to be okay. So there's that aspect, too. I think that true crime is a big thing now because women like to figure things out. They like to pay attention to the detail. They have great memories and recall. They make the best witnesses at trial sometimes. And they're dragging their boyfriends and their husbands into the living room to watch crime shows now, which hopefully will make our audience even bigger and make more people interested in how we do things in the real world. And your viewers live in the real world, even a more real world than what I'm working with. And I think that we appreciate keeping it real. We don't need the bullshit. Tell me how it works. Tell me if I have the evidence. Let's see if we have enough to go to court. And that's what we did.
Do you think part of bringing the boyfriends, the husbands in to sit on the couch to watch these true crime shows is say, hey, you better behave. Watch yourself. This is what
I don't know, because I've met a lot of husbands that end up liking it, and you can still tell that there are still a lot that are kind of reluctant. So I guess it kind of depends on the man, but it is definitely usually the woman that's the motivating factor with these shows. I get that, and you know we're acknowledging that.
We're joined by former Texas Bureau Chief of Special Crimes, Kelly Sigler, who's appearing in Prosecuting Evil with Kelly Sigler. Not appearing, you're hosting the darn thing on Oxygen True Crime. What was the most challenging case that you undertook and clearly were successful with?
I had a lot. I mean, there were so many that were challenging for different reasons. Sometimes it would be the judge. Sometimes it would be the defense lawyer. Sometimes it would be the facts. Sometimes it just depends. It's a crazy career.
Yeah.
It's a crazy career, and you learn a lot every single day.
You've lectured all over the United States with topics like jury presentation, arguing effectively for a death sentence, how to pick a jury. Did you prefer jury trials?
Yeah, because you know a lot of what I lectured was telling people everybody hates lawyers. Don't get up there and be a sanctimonious, four-syllable talking juror. Be real. Talk to jurors in a real way and be sincere. And don't talk down to them like so many lawyers do. Because I was on a jury myself when I was in college. And I remember thinking, I hate those lawyers. They think we're all a bunch of hicks and rednecks and they're talking down to us. And I'm never going to be like that as a lawyer. And I think that works. And I think that it's been part of the reason why I was able to do what I did, because I try to understand how people think and feel and keep it real. Always keep it real, and people are going to respect that.
Well, the premiering November 18th on Oxygen True Crime, 8 p.m. Eastern. What should we look for in the very first episode? Is this like, is every episode a one particular case, or how does the show flow?
Yes, every episode is about one case. There are 10. 4 of them are mine. 6 are from other prosecutors and agencies around the state. Everyone, the cool thing we realized when we got all done is that all 10 are so different from each other. Like the last one, number 10, is about the Durst case. And that one is actually about why the jury got it wrong on their verdict down here in Galveston County in that trial. And the first one is about a case that I tried where a woman tied her husband to a bed and stabbed him to death 193 times after pretending she was going to make love with him. And I brought the bed into the courtroom during the trial to demonstrate to the jury up front and personal exactly how she killed him and set him up. And that became a controversial thing. So we're starting with that one, but all the ones in between, all the way through, they're all different, very different, and you're going to learn something, and it's going to break your heart, and I hope you're going to be impressed too. So I think every case is special, and I really think, I think people are going to like it because people like to be told the truth about the way it works, and that's what this is all about.
So 4 of the cases are yours. Which did you enjoy more as the host, looking back at your own cases or at other prosecutors' cases?
You know, that's a good question. No one's asked me that. I think I felt a whole lot less pressure when they weren't mine. So I just kind of, I got to sit back and just hear the story and watch the interviews and let it play out for me more as a viewer. When they were mine, I was more worried about how's my family doing being interviewed? How do they feel about going through all this? Because wait till you see the second one. And I went to meet my family that was stabbed but survived in 2004, and I haven't seen her for almost 20 years, going back and seeing her and making sure she was okay to talk about it. First of all, seeing if she even wanted to talk about it. You know, it feels kind of funny asking people, do you want to talk about what we did in trial all those years ago? So the pressure is more and different in a whole bunch of different ways. It was a lot easier to do other people's cases than my own, to be honest with you, which I did not expect going into this at all.
That's interesting. I want to say, if you think you're going to get lucky with the wife or the girlfriend, she ties you up to the bed and then stabs you once, that's bad. 192 more times, that's just piling on. You know, you don't necessarily, the harm has been done. So any last thoughts, or where can they find information on you when they're not watching you on Oxygen True Crime?
Well, I would say to your world that is doing all that they can to help the country be a better place, Prosecuting Evil is going to be speaking to you because we're trying to do the right thing, too. And also Cold Justice, where we go around the country solving unsolved murder cases with local law, trying to help make the world safer on that show, too. Keeping it real and telling the truth, that's what both of these shows are about. And the new show comes out next Saturday on the 18th at 7 o'clock on Oxygen.
Well, I think Oxygen's done a good job of picking a host for this show. I mean, with all the, like you said, there's true crime. You can't swing a cat without hitting a true crime podcast or a TV show somewhere. But, you know, 68 murder cases, no losses, you know, 20 death penalty cases, only one didn't go to the death penalty. I mean, you clearly have got the chops for this, and I think they're lucky to have you. Again, premiering November 18th, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on Oxygen True Crime. Kelly, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir, Nate. Thank you.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. Happy holidays. During this time, it's important to salute our military personnel, domestically and abroad, who work to keep our country safe. It's during the holidays, that warm, happy feeling of being together with family, that we sometimes take for granted how much we have to be thankful for. So we want to make sure that we let the families and those who serve know that we appreciate their service above self during the holidays.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and this is a cool deal for me because it's a guy that generally doesn't do a lot of interviews, doesn't put himself out there for publicity purposes. So it's very much an honor for us to have. Hey, everybody's heard of Craigslist. This is Craig Newmark joining us here on the National Defense. Craig, how are you?
Things are going pretty well. Lots of work to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it didn't, I didn't know this about you, about what a huge military supporter you are, and most recently donating $10 million to the Got Your Six Network, which reaches over 97% of the nation's 20.5 million veteran and uniformed population. And you had a big event in New York, Stand Up for Heroes, with the Bob Woodruff Foundation, which we're very familiar with. How did that event go?
The event went very well. Lots of money raised to support the Got Your Six Network, which helps vets and military families. It's both a music concert and a comedy concert. I'm more interested in comedy, although there's this guy there, Springsteen, who was very impressive.
Yeah, yeah. He's not so funny, but he can sing.
That's right. His joke telling could use some improvement. me, I introduced one of the comedians, and we did a bit with Craig GPT, which may have gone over well.
That's good. That's good. Who do you like as far as stand-up?
At the performance, there was Ronnie Chang, who was great, John Stewart, other folks there, but mostly I was just backstage getting stressed out in waiting my time to go on stage.
Right, right. So this weekend I'm going to see in St. Louis, they're only doing six cities, Jerry Seinfeld and Jim Gaffigan together.
Yeah, I'd love to see that combination, but it would mean I'd probably have to stay out late. My bedtime these days is 8:30.
We're talking to Craig Newmark here in the National Defense. It's such an honor to meet you. Somebody that's put something together, almost like three decades ago now. I think it was around 96 that you started on the idea.
That's right. And don't give me too much credit for that idea. I just created a simple events mailing list. People suggested more stuff, and I did what made sense and then just made some good decisions.
And this was around San Francisco, right? Initially?
Originally, yes, San Francisco, but people wanted it throughout the country, so we did something about that.
Yeah, and it was interesting to read what the original name was going to be. It was going to be something like San Francisco Events.
Yeah. When I had to give the thing a name for technical reasons, it was mostly events. People around me told me they already called it Craigslist. I'd created a brand. They told me what a brand is, and then I agreed.
Well, and as you look back now, that might have been the smartest part of the entire creation, because it became so eponymous and so well known that the Craig in Craigslist it was the biggest brand.
Yeah, and it created a bad habit for me. I would tell people that Craig didn't exist. It was like Betty Crocker. Right. But realistically, any success I've had has been accidentally been in the right time and place, which makes me like the Forrest Gump of the Internet.
And can I ask you, Craig, what is it about you and your heart for veterans? You donated not just this recent donation, but through the years you've supported many veterans organizations. What is it about giving money for veterans to you?
Well, speaking in the here and now, veterans, their families, active service members and their families, they give up a lot to protect us all. That means someone who's done well should give back far in excess of what people normally do. Historically, it basically means that I grew up during Vietnam. Mm. And I was very naive, didn't understand anything in high school, but I could see returning soldiers being treated badly. Mm. I understood that was wrong, but I didn't really get it until I talked to a guy from the Iraq and Afghanistan Vets of America.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk to veterans every day on this program, and especially when you talk to a Vietnam veteran, it always makes my heart feel great, though, that most Vietnam vets now, all they want to do is make sure that the veterans that came after them receive much better treatment.
Well, I've spoken to a number. For example, in San Francisco, there's a great group, Swords to Plowshares, which made sure I understood the issues.
Sure.
And I spoke in depth with one guy who served on the Coral Sea in 64, and he clued me into a lot of that.
Yeah, and, you know, you talked about your high school kind of growing up years there, and you were a pretty much self-professed nerd, right, even with the pocket protector.
I may have invented the cliche. I did wear a plastic pocket protector. I did have thick black glasses taped together and marginal social skills. And even as we speak, I'm very aware that I'm only simulating social skills that I don't really have.
So the original Dilbert. And the other great thing about it, though, Craig, it's kind of like the Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, you know, from where you started and where you are now and the impact that you're making, that's got to be a great feeling just all the way around for you.
It feels good now and then for a minute, but then it's back to work. There's lots to be done. As you know, you pointed out, vets, their families, and again, active service members and their families need a lot of support. And we need to remind the public, we need to remind Congress that more needs to be done.
Amen. Amen. We're talking to Craig Newmark here on the National Defense. And the other thing, you might remember, were you a big radio guy growing up? Did you listen to a lot of radio?
I kind of remember doing a fair amount of it, particularly when I was very young and I was listening to WABC. They were talking about this new group coming to the U.S. called the Beatles.
Right, yeah. And they're back again now with a brand new song.
Something's going on with some AI recreation.
Right.
I don't really know. These days I'm a big fan of Leonard Cohen, and I am a Swiftie.
You are a Swiftie. Oh, well, we're based in Kansas City, so it's like her second home.
I've heard something to that effect, but remember, I'm a nerd, not a jock.
Gotcha. The reason I ask about radio is because, and it kind of boggles my mind to think right now that there are 30-year-olds walking around on our planet that have never been without Craigslist. It's just, it's amazing to me. But before Craigslist, there was something called Tradio. And I always loved Tradio. I always loved to listen to people that would call in and try to sell their stuff. And other people would call in to buy it. Do you remember anything about hearing something like that?
That could have been before my time, or maybe it was geographically specific. But I do love the idea that people can get along that way.
Yeah.
Something about our country, when things are good, people just get along. And I still think that's largely true, even if the news isn't about that.
Yeah, and I was also trying to think about things that didn't exist before Craigslist. And part of that is people meeting each other in public places. I think Craigslist brought that around to because I remember the first time I used Craigslist, that was one of the requirements that were unspoken, that we need to meet in a very public place.
For every mechanism out there, every way of people doing business person to person, you do have to exercise some common sense. And Craigslist, the company, puts a lot of energy into reminding people of that. Craigslist does a great deal to help the cops. Although I do remember in high school, while no one was explaining the war to me, I did have a really good teacher who made sure we understood the Constitution, due process and all that. So doing the right thing is sometimes a lot more complicated than you think.
Well, in fact, didn't you get an award from the FBI at some point for helping to stop human trafficking?
The company did get a big award from the FBI for helping stop human trafficking. Don't give me any credit for that. I wasn't part of it. The FBI folks just wanted to meet me because while I was there, I also talked to one of their cybersecurity teams. And that was really impressive. Turns out the FBI does a really good job, better than people hear about. They don't want the PR very much. And that's true of a number of organizations doing the work who don't want to be in the public eye because that interferes with their ability to get the job done.
So when Craigslist first started, and you saw that you were onto something. And I think if I remember correctly, the first year, you got 1 million people on it. like immediately. And so you see this thing happening. What was the most fun part for you? I mean, just aside from just the success and the growth of Craigslist, to me, I love Craigslist because not only are there so many things, so potential to commerce-wise, but I love to see the the stuff that people have. I just love to, you know, the stuff that they value, the stuff that they don't value.
Well, on Craigslist, we see people exhibiting real human behavior. And the good news is that people are overwhelmingly good. You know, back then working customer service, I had to help out with all sorts of things because, frankly, for most of my time at the company, I was a customer service rep, not a manager, but a customer service rep. And I saw people helping each other out all the time. It is more newsworthy, I guess, to focus on bad stuff, but that gives a misimpression of human nature. Mm-hmm. People are generally okay.
Yeah, that is great to hear. That is great to hear. And that's the sense that we get on this show all the time because we just basically interview heroes and the people who support them. So we get all the good sides of that. But Craig, you know, the things that you're doing, especially with the Got Your Six network, it's so important because of this mental health issue with veterans. I mean, the number 18, 19, 20 suicides a day, it's ridiculous. And the work that these guys are doing, they are really attempting to bridge that mental health gap, right?
Well, the people I work with, Bob Woodruff Foundation and also Blue Star Families, they work on the real issues that affect military families, vets, active service members, and they've clued me into a lot of the root issues, like military families get relocated way too much. They say 600,000 moves a year. And that means you've had a chance to put down roots in a community, to make friends, to know where the schools are, where to get food. And then if you get moved around and have to do that over again, someone needs to address that.
Yeah.
So we got the Got Your Six network for that. And there are a whole bunch of Blue Star Family, they call them chapters around the country. The idea is to connect families, vets, service members to people who've gone through it already. Mm-hmm. Me, I really didn't get how big the need was about all this until the Bob Woodruff and Blue Star Family finally got it into my head. And that was only several months ago. Sometimes it takes me a long time to get something.
Yeah. Well, and especially if you're not in that space all the time. I mean, we find out about things. I just interviewed a guy the other day who's got an organization called Vet Ticks, and they've been around, gosh, 10 years, and all they do is supply veterans and their families with free tickets to everything. Uh-huh. I mean, millions and millions and millions of tickets. And I'd never even heard of them. So, I mean, there's a lot of good things happening for veterans out there. And the other thing that is important to note, we talked to a lot of companies on this program that have really, Home Depot, is an exceptional one. They've pledged $500 million in support for veterans organizations, but they hire veterans. And that's one of the problems that you talk about when veterans transition out, if they can't get a job, and especially with veteran spouses. And so companies have started to realize that when you hire a veteran, it does more for you than even for them.
Yeah, I'm supporting a number of hiring efforts, but my favorite part is that I'm also supporting some efforts which train vets and their spouses and active service members for cybersecurity jobs.
Oh, wow.
The deal is We want vets and spouses not only to get hired, but to get hired for serious careers.
Right.
And in cybersecurity, you're not only getting a good job, but you're helping protect the country. That's a good combination. My new challenge is to better understand the DoD Skills Bridge program, which is about getting active service members prepared to take a to get a cybersecurity career when they transition.
The Skills Bridge is so fantastic, and like I talked about, I mean, there's so many companies that are making it their mission to hire veterans, which is such a great thing for our country all the way around. And you know, if your spouse is not working and you're deployed, that's all you're thinking about. You know, are the kids eating, or is my spouse able to hold a job? So, I mean, all of those things contribute to that mental health that you talked about.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I had no clue about until I talked to people. Child care is a big issue, and how DoD compensates active service members, particularly, well, if you move from one area to an area with a much higher cost of housing, and if it's hard to find housing,
right,
more needs to be done. I have the beginning of a clue, but I work with people who are really good at it, and I support them. So a lot of my support is indirect, because sometimes someone like me who only has a clue needs to help and then get out of the way.
Let the people who know what they're doing do their jobs, right?
Yeah, that's a big lesson throughout everything, actually.
Yeah.
The holidays are here at the Home Depot, so let's get to decorating. Find your perfect tree in our huge assortment of shapes, sizes, and styles. Like the easy-to-assemble Jackson Noble Fir, with pre-lit branches perfect for styling with all your favorite ornaments. Or the Flock Starry Light Fraser Fir, with over 1,900 pre-lit memory wire branches that keep their shape so it's ready right out of the box.
Ooh.
Find the perfect tree now at the Home Depot.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Redding Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Basket Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Want to talk to Santa Claus himself?
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
That's right, folks. Santa will be live on the air December 12th from 6:05 to 7 p.m. Tune in to Heroes of the North State, hosted by Michelle Slade of My Umbrella Marketing. Tell Santa your Christmas wishes or just say hi. So mark your calendar for December 12th. Tell a friend and talk to Santa live while making magical memories. Call 530-605-4566 or 530-605-4567.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Right. Have you gone to any Comic-Cons?
I've never been to a Comic-Con in the literal sense. In the past, in the 80s, I went to a lot of science fiction cons. I don't anymore. I miss them. I don't know if they've changed or if I've changed or both.
We just had William Shatner on a few weeks ago, and he's 96, was that right? 96, and sharp as a tack, and loves the Comic-Cons.
Yeah, he was very kind. He followed me at last year's by Woodruff fundraiser. We did a gag where I appeared as a hologram Craig, and he came right on after that.
That's great. Well, you know, so this program that we have, the National Defense, we've been around for about 10 years. We're on over 100 stations in the U.S. and Armed Forces Radio Network. And all we do is support the troops. We partner with 24 veteran support organizations, a lot of those that you talked about. So it would be much easier for you, Craig, just to invest in our program.
That would probably be easier, but I don't know if Anne Marie from Bob Woodruff or Kathy from Blue Star would allow me. I've delegated to them decision making.
All right. Well, we've had both of them on the program, so maybe I'll reach out.
Yeah. This is the theme that, you know, I could get involved back in decision making and do a half-assed job of it. But I'd rather focus on the people who know this stuff.
Yeah.
Like an exception in a whole different areas with cybersecurity. I know enough about that to be more directly involved. I do delegate a lot of decision-making, but this way I can exercise my diminishing technical skills.
Well, I got to tell you, it makes me feel good that the man who invented Craigslist is still working on some important things like that. And the fact that you support veterans and our military, I just can't thank you enough for what you're doing, and I'm sure you know it's so greatly appreciated by everyone.
Well, I appreciate hearing that. Feels good for a minute, and then I got to get back to work. I got to learn more about SkillBridge and find out who I can constructively annoy.
Yes. You spent your life constructively annoying people, right?
Let's say the first 40 years I did a bad job of it. I've learned a lot more in the 30 years since. I still get professional help. Like I have a guy who I can run ideas by, and he can tell me, well, I shouldn't say stupid things publicly.
I've got a wife for that.
My wife will help me in that regards also.
Craig, thank you so much for taking the time. I really, really appreciate it, and we're just so honored to have you on the program.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Back to work.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, powered by Intel. Are you a fan of the Caped Crusader, or maybe your little kids are? Lights, sounds, and tons of fun for your little ones. It's the Fisher-Price Batwheels Launch and Race Batcave. Tech and lifestyle expert Mario Armstrong fills us in on a super fun idea for little Batman fans.
Imagine a little racetrack that's three floors high.
And it's got an elevator so that you can put all your cars and carry the cars around with you. It's got a spiral speedway that runs in a nice little circular spiral fashion. And it's got cool lights, sounds, and phrases. And, of course, you're, like, in the Batcave with the car racing around. How cool is that? But then they also have BAM, the Batmobile remote control car. Two speeds, one button for turbo action, and it takes off, Mark. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Kids are going to be wowed by that for sure.
Check it out at shop.mattel.com. That was your Tech It Out Minute, powered by Intel.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.